Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside the final hour of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Beyer in for Mike tonight. Dan has now done 7 shots of Rumplemans since the Bucks lost a few moments ago to the Golden State Warriors. It is that kind of night for D. Beyer. Sorry about that, buddy.
That was foolish to think that this one would be in the bag. And you know, when Steph Curry brings you back, Twitter is all loving that. But I blame myself. No Giannis tonight. Still thought that they could get it done and thought that they had it in hand and just let it slip away. Still had an opportunity at the end, but just an awful way to end the game. You know, they were hot for a while, then cooled off for a little bit. But, you know, I had a couple of good wins on this road trip. And it'll finally end on Thursday, but you needed this one. I mean, when you're coming down to the, you know, to the end of the road in the East with the Nets getting Durant back, and you know, I know Harden's out a little bit. You're still battling them in Philadelphia for those top 3 seeds, and you got to get number 1 because you don't want to face 2 of those teams to try to get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you look at the Western Conference and you're kind of feeling the same thing, but certain teams like the Lakers, hey, look, they had a big night tonight. Look, they had Montrezl Harrell get thrown out of the game for starting a fight with OG Anunoby when there were some WWE moves going on. But I've been waiting for the Lakers to have a little bit of pissed offness in them. And hey, at some point you got to understand no one's riding to the rescue, and you have to figure things out. And I haven't gotten that. Tonight we got that. We got that fight. They look pissed off. They had big nights from players up and down the bench. Marcus Saul scored 13 points, right? You had Talen Horton Tucker with 17 off the bench. This is the Lakers team that they need every single night until you get the superstars back. And even if that happens, the Lakers have to look at finishing 6th as being, that's our victory for us, because they're in 5th right now. They're not going to pass the Nuggets. You know, the Nuggets are red hot. They've won 6 in a row. They got better at the All-Star break. The Blazers are a half game behind them, 1 game back in the loss column. So now you're talking about, can we fend off the Mavericks? No, by the way, the Mavericks are red hot. You know, they've won 5 in a row. So the Lakers are 2 games out of 7th place. I mean, it's really going to be a struggle because that 6th spot is such a big deal. Nobody wants to be in that 7-10 game. And in the West, it's a lot different from the East where, you know, you can finish in 1st if you're the Jazz, but where are you drawing a breather? You know, it's not like, boy, hey, if you're the Sixers, you finish in 1st, well, then you get the Hawks or the Hornets, and then, you know, the Nets have to go through the Bucks to get to the Sixers. In the West, it's Utah's really good. Phoenix is really good. Clippers are really good. Denver's really good. The Lakers are going to be really good when they get LeBron and AD back. Portland's pretty good. Dallas, I mean, there's no breather. It's like, hey, wherever it winds up being in the Western Conference now, it is. But the East, you're right. It's a very big deal about winning the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, you're almost, you know, as you said, the Lakers are just trying to stay out of the play-in tournament for that top 6 spot. If you're the other teams in the West, you don't even know what to do, really. I mean, I guess you just, you know, play your best to win to get home court, but you really can't sort out where you want to be matchup-wise because you just don't know, because the Lakers are that wild card. They could be in the top half of the bracket as a 5 seed. They could be in the bottom half of the bracket as that 6 seed. And so if you're sitting there battling for 2 or 3 and you don't necessarily know where you want to be, or it's just a 2, 3, or 4, and maybe it's better to be 4 than it is to be 3, they don't really know in the West. In the East, it's clear cut. You got the top 3 teams, and then there's everybody else. And if you're in that top 3 in the East, you want to get 1 so you don't have to face the other 2 in the semifinals. West is just it's not a jumbled mess because they're really good teams, Jason, but everybody just has like their own agenda. And in the East, there seems to just be the one agenda. And that's what I think is the difference between the two.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Dan at Dan Beyer on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Dan Beyer in tonight. We had a big story in the NFL today, and it allows us to make a big, bold prediction for the NFL draft. The Falcons let it be known today, Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting, that they are open for business with the fourth pick in the NFL draft. This is not surprising. They are the big benefactors of Justin Fields' great pro day because as we're watching the tumblers lock into place, obviously the Jaguars have been linked in and they're going to take Trevor Lawrence, and now we know for certain the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson at number two. Number three and number four were the questions. Justin Fields has a great pro day. Mac Jones' pro day is not as good, but he is still a riser. So now Fields and Mac Jones are risers. If you need a quarterback, the top four is where you have to go for them. The 49ers traded up to number three. They obviously know who their guy is. I believe it's Mac Jones because I just read the tea leaves, and when I listen to people like Chris Sims, who's friends with Kyle Shanahan, say Mac Jones is the guy at three, I think they're going with Mac Jones. I think they want a guy in there that can come in right away, ran a pro-style offense at Alabama, and can come in and kind of hit the ground seamlessly. But here you have Justin Fields now, who is a big riser, and the Falcons are saying, we still love Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's got a lot of football left in him. He's not one of those 35, he's going to, no, Matt Ryan still is a pretty decent quarterback, and the Falcons can stick with him for a couple of years. So they've made the decision now that we're open for business at four. So now if you're a team that needs a quarterback, you got to get up to four. Right, you got to get. If you're the Broncos, you got to get from 9 to 4 because you need a quarterback. You can't go into next year with Drew Lock. You have an offense that is loaded and ready to go with weapons everywhere. I mean, the Panthers and the Broncos are the two teams where quarterbacks are going, oh my goodness, look at all this talent that we have. So you need somebody to go up to four. Now here's a bold prediction. Right, we've talked about quarterbacks going 1 through 4 in the NFL draft. Dan, I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, quarterbacks are going to go 1 through 5 in the NFL draft, and Trey Lance is going to go at 5. Someone will move up with the Cincinnati Bengals because Trey Lance is in the position of really being the first pick in the draft. Right? I mean, it's not really the first pick, but when you know the first four picks are going to be those four quarterbacks in some kind of order. Right, it's going to be Lawrence and Wilson. Then most likely it's Jones and Fields. Could it be Fields and Jones? Yeah, it could go that way, but most likely it's going to be that way. So if you know those guys are coming off, you're saying, okay, what's our draft board look like? If you're picking fifth, it's like you have the first pick in the NFL draft. And Trey Lance is someone who was a big prospect, didn't do anything to hurt his stock because he didn't really have a senior season or a season this past year. So, but he's still a riser. He's still someone that everybody's interested in. The Patriots are interested in. Other teams that need quarterbacks like Trey Lance. In any year, he would be a top prospect. So if you look at the draft this way and say the draft begins at number 5, if that's the first pick, do you really think no one's going to get there to take a quarterback? That he's going to go and he's going to, other teams are going to say, no, we want Devontae Smith, we want Waddle, we want Kyle Pitts. No, someone's still going to move up there to get a quarterback because he's the last of the good quarterbacks in the first round. So when it comes down to it, someone's going to move up there. I realize the Bengals making a trade is going to be the tough part of this. I understand that part. But when it comes down to it, that's how it's going to go because the desire to get that quarterback, you need that other guy, is going to be so great. That's going to be the only way to get him. You're going to see not quarterbacks 1 through 4, 1 through 5 with Trey Lance being the guy coming off the board at 5.
To your point, I wonder if the Falcons know that the Bengals want out of 5, and that's why they made the news today. Because you're bargaining, like if you are a Denver, as you're saying, that could possibly move up to try to get their quarterback if you're in that spot, or if you're another team a little bit further down, maybe you say to yourself, well, hey, we don't have to give up as much if we go to 5 with Cincinnati. And we could still get, you know, one of the guys left. And we know Atlanta's not going to take a quarterback. I just wonder if maybe that's part of it, of them knowing, like, hey, Cincinnati may want out. Which would lend to your point that, yeah, then you know, if Cincinnati's good a deal, and then the Falcons are maybe thinking the Bengals could be a top 5. I that's not as out of the realm of possibility. It's amazing to me to think that we've gotten to this point. And it's amazing to me to think that I thought maybe a top 2 quarterback or a top 3. But to see these teams rush up, to your point, if you're sitting there at 6, 7, or 8, or 9, you could be getting the second or third best prospect in the entire draft just because of how this falls out. But Yeah, it makes it. I'm not sold on Matt Ryan as a guy. Not at any means. I think that his days are done. And so I don't necessarily love Atlanta wanting to move out. But to your point, I'm wondering if they're saying, hey, maybe Cincinnati thinks they're going to get into a bidding war or a deal's going to be done. Why don't we put it out there? That does make some sense. It's just a matter of how much ammunition. Who are the Broncos going against if they're trying to move up? Is it Carolina? Is it a team further back? Because that's where the real competition is who's ready to give up what Atlanta would need or Cincinnati would need to move out of 4 and 5. And if you do a deal, if the Falcons do the deal, does that then eliminate any of the competition for somebody else to move up? Or are there three teams and then it's down to two because somebody already moved up? Yeah, your theory is not crazy the way that you lay it out.
I mean, it sounds nuts, but as every year that goes by, like five quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. It's like the five quarterbacks part.
Yeah, because we've gotten to the point where teams can no longer say, we can build everywhere else and get by with a quarterback. You can't really do that anymore. And when you pick that high, you have to take a quarterback then, because who knows if you're going to get a chance to get one at another point. You're either trying to make a trade for one, and if you're too late, you're too late. If you pick too late, you're not going to get one if you're picking 22nd or 23rd. So the desire of getting a quarterback is huge. And it's a draft class that everybody is high on. And it's not like the draft class of 2018 where, boy, Baker Mayfield seems like he might be a guy to take the NFL by storm. And, boy, Darnold's really good. And then maybe Josh Allen. And maybe Josh Rosen. Turns out the opposite. Josh Allen was the best guy, and the best guy went even way later than he did. So that was a different draft class. This is where all these guys are highly rated. There's not one of these quarterbacks where teams are saying, yeah, I don't know. No, Jones is rising, Fields is rising, and when all those guys are gone, when you're looking at that there's only one guy left, there's going to be a mad scramble to get him.
Yeah, I think it's the Josh Rosen effect. I think that's what it is in the NFL, where if you're an NFL team and you have an opportunity, you aren't locked up to that quarterback. And if you are a team that trades up, and only for hypothetical purposes, but let's just say Mac Jones goes to the Falcons at 4, just hypothetical.
Okay.
If Mac Jones doesn't work out, you can move on from him in 2 years, just like the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen. After one season, because you're likely going to stink, so you're going to be up there again, and you could move on. This is, that draft class with those five quarterbacks, as you say, I think the biggest factor in all of that is probably Josh Rosen, because now it tells teams that you don't have to be handcuffed by another quarterback. And I also think that, Jason, there was this thought in the NFL that quarterbacks weren't available. And I go back to the Joe Flacco Super Bowl season, where Joe Flacco bet on himself, and he was really going to be the only guy that was going to be available. And as you know this, there was a few seasons after that when Ryan Fitzpatrick was, was he going to be back with the Jets? He was the only viable free agent quarterback that was out there. And now that's just not the case. You're seeing veterans get traded. You're seeing guys get drafted. You're seeing teams move on. It's a completely different world. And so if you are going to trade up and you're going to go to that point, if you're trading up to 4 or 5, I don't think that these teams feel like they're handcuffed to those guys because of what the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen. If it doesn't work out and you stink anyway, you just pick up a guy 2 or 3 years later and start anew.
Yeah, that was – it went from, well, a quarterback's got 3 years. And then it's, well, a quarterback's got 2 years into a third. And now it's quarterback's got 1 year. I mean, look at with Tua. There was still a push saying, boy, I don't know if Tua's the guy. He's getting benched in the fourth quarter. And it was maybe they move on from him after a year, even though he didn't have that bad a rookie year. It's not like he looked like he was a deer in headlights, but there was a big faction in Miami where you have to think that, hey, if something had presented itself, they would have said, hey, we're moving on. Tua's going someplace else. We're getting a different guy. I mean, it was that close, and it's not like he was bad. The impatience with a quarterback, I can't really call it impatience because teams need to win faster than they ever have before. You need to show that, hey, we're getting somewhere. You don't have 3 and 4 years to put your plan in. I mean, it really is going to get to that point where rookie quarterbacks who get the gig from day one are really going to have one season. And if it doesn't work, a team's is getting more comfortable with the fact of we can swallow this and move on. right? Because it always mm-hmm. the first person that runs through a wall always gets bloody. Right, and that's the case. And so the Cardinals, hey, they ran through that wall. Oh, hey, man, they're bloody. They got rid of Josh Rosen, but they broke through the wall, and it was, well, boy, they really did well with Kyler Murray, yeah. And this kid looks fantastic. And now other teams are saying, hey, that wall is up. We're running through that wall now. We're going that's a big opening. We're just going to run right through and be able to do it. That's how it works.
Look at how cool that scar looks. You know, like, yeah, at the time it wasn't great, but now he looks cool and tough. That's the Cardinals.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Dan at Dan Beyer on Fox. Dan has a scar on his lower hip he will show you if you ever meet him. And the story about it is just, it's incredible.
Yeah. You don't even have to ask. I'll show you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show, Dan Beyer in for Mike Harmon. And before we get to the big All-Star game topic, I want to point something out to you, Dan Beyer, the box score line item of the night. All right, can I point this out to you here?
Oh, I love it. Yes.
In the Mets 8-4 win over the Phillies, Vince Velasquez for the Phillies tonight pitched 1 1/3 innings and didn't give up a hit.
All right.
However, he gave up 4 runs, all of them earned, with 4 walks and 4 strikeouts. He threw 40 pitches, 19 of them for strikes, but he walked 4 guys. The Mets scored 4 runs. He didn't give up a hit. I mean, it's like, how could that? I didn't think that was mathematically possible for a guy to be able to do that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, I'm sitting in for Mike Harmon tonight, and Mike and I do the I Want Your Flex Fantasy Football podcast. And at the end of the year, towards our latter episodes, we would run down like our favorite stat lines from games. Mm-hmm. And that, if we were doing it baseball, that's a gem. That, I mean, to think, like, think about it, like, To be in there and give up 4 runs in an inning and a third and not allow any hits, but give up, I mean, it's absurd. It's crazy. That's great stuff.
So there you go. Vince Velasquez, congratulations. Box score of the night.
I didn't give up a hit. Yeah, but you let in 4 runs. Yeah, but I had 4 strikeouts. Yeah, but you walked 4 guys.
I mean, you can do this all day. It's like Captain America. I can do this all day.
But I didn't want to because of time. That's why I just ended it because I'm like, man, on one hand you got this. On this hand you got that. But this hand you got this. And this hand you got that. Oh, my goodness.
Now, speaking of big stories out of Major League Baseball tonight, the fallout from the All-Star game being moved from Atlanta is still being told to the point that today we're seeing more and more politicians weighing in. Oh, boycott baseball. What's baseball doing? Why did they do this? And now the Braves are having the All-Star patches on their uniforms covered for the rest of the season. It is a big mess going on right now. And the main thing to take away from this is that it's too late to play the stick to sports line anymore. You can't do that. The way we're going in the United States, sports is going to get involved in politics when they feel they want to. Sports is a huge entity. It's big business. They're going to respond to political things that happen, and it's going to be good for half the country, or half the country's going to like it, half the country's not going to like it. But we're not going back to where athletes just don't say anything. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. So this is always going to happen, and if you're in the stick to sports, I mean, you're in the death cry of that right now. You're in the last days, and I mean by the time we get to the midterm elections, maybe in 2022 or definitely for 2024, look, sports is going to be involved in politics, and it's going to be intertwined because we're not going to get away from it because athletes want their voices to be heard. They know I have a platform because I like or dislike what's going on politically, but that stick to sports, it's just not happening. We're not going back. We're not ever going back to that. We are moving towards more of inclusive, where everybody weighs in on politics, whether it's it's Hollywood, whether it's singers, no matter what it is, everybody is in on politics, and that's going to just continue to happen, especially in sports.
And I would also say this, that what is politics is becoming more difficult to define, because it's politics, Jason, and not to make it a whole thing, but sometimes it's not politics. Sometimes it's just right and wrong, but it turns into politics. And I think to your point of like why it's intertwined, I don't think sports is the problem. I think that the politics are the problem with it, and why then they end up crossing. Whether that changes, I still think we're in a new presidency. It's still fresh. I don't know in 2 years from now if things are going to cool down, but it's been pretty hot for the last 4 or 5 years on a lot of stuff, and I don't know if it's going to change. I just know that what we identify as political has also changed over the last few years, and that's why sports has also been more a part of it.
You know, and the other thing too is that we were in a case where last year, look, when President Trump was the president, there was something new that everybody was hot on every couple of hours. I mean, there was something new. Nothing had a real long shelf life because it was, oh, look at this, and this has everybody going crazy on both sides of the aisle. Then we're on to something else and on to something else. It's a different presidency under Biden. Biden's less public than Trump is. So now when we haven't had as much need to go back and forth on as far as divisive topics have gone, but here comes the All-Star game and suddenly it's, whoa, oh, look at this. And now everybody gets fired up on it because we haven't had the usual daily things where, hey, I want to, you know, I want to see what people are saying about this, because it, you know, it's just been a different presidency than we had the last 4 years. So when something like this comes up, I think this has much more legs on it because it is the story that is that is polarizing, that people are weighing in on both sides. And it's going to continue.
If it's either going to slow down or it's just going to head straight to 2024. One of the two.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Dan at Dan Beyer on Fox. Hey, our Best Of podcast goes up right after the show is over, so about 10 minutes or so from now on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Download it, rate us, subscribe. We'll love you forever and ever. DB, as always, my friend, thanks a bunch tonight. We had some fun.
Jason, it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it and love to do it again. Thanks so much.
All right. For Dan, I'm Jason, my buddy Ben Maller. Coming up next, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio. I know, by the way, the Mets did win that game against the Phillies.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.